Isaiah tells a wonderful story, a great image of the kingdom of God. It's a place people could identify with. It's this holy mountain that in the history of Israel, they know that place. It's a place of pilgrimage, a place of prayer. And a belief of the ancients is that it's a place of encounter with the divine. The closer you get up to heaven, climb a couple thousand foot peaks or a 14,000 foot peak, you get pretty close to something. You get up there. And the belief was, higher you went, the closer you came to the divine. So we'll often talk about the Mount of Jerusalem, where the temple sat, up, raised above any other structure, because it needs to be close to God. But the image that Isaiah uses is one that you and I can identify with greatly. Food. Food and drink. Great food. Not just something that's left over in the fridge that's been there for a couple days, you know, and even though someone took the business to date it, you're still not quite sure if you want to enjoy that right now because you're not sure if it's good enough. Not that type of food, but rich, fresh food. Abundance. A table laden with good things. And, I believe, things that are good for you. Oftentimes when I go into the kitchen, the first thing I can see are like the cookies or the cake. And Deacon Father Steve's cake is still there from last week. It slowly goes down. It's that kind that's covered with lots of sugar frosting. It's like, should I do that now or should I wait after I have something good? It's a struggle. But good things is the promise of God. Good food, things that nourish you and keep you alive. That's the promise. That's the vision. And it's beautiful in Isaiah's story. Jesus follows that and says, this is the kingdom. This is a great image for us, the wedding feast. It has abundance. No cost was spared to create this party for the king's son. And everyone's invited to it. And those who are invited say they'd rather be somewhere else. They'd rather go feed on food that doesn't sustain them. The reaction, I always think, is kind of odd. If you don't want to come to a party, just say thank you, no thank you, and go your own way. But later in the story, some people take quite drastic turns towards these messengers who are bringing an invitation, a goodness. They mistreat them and they kill them. It's kind of a real drastic, not in sync way of behaving. They refuse the great gift. They'd rather fill their bellies with something that's going to bloat them and make them unhappy. But the goodness of God is something they don't want. You know, an image that came to me while reflecting on these readings, one went way back to when I was at St. Clement Healthcare Center in Liguori. So I was in charge of that community, and we had probably 25 men who were in pretty serious need of health care. And it was kind of regular where I would get a phone call from the nurses saying, you know, brother is having chest pains, we're going to send him to the hospital. Or father fell and hit his head, so just to be safe, we're going to send him to the hospital. Which meant for me is, you're going to go with him. And you're going to watch him and you're going to answer questions for him, you know, at the doctor's or in the emergency room. So I went. And it usually meant 7 or 8 hours or longer sitting and waiting, you know. And so one time one of the redemptorists said, you know, you're busy, you've got other things to do, you know. Why don't you go back home? I'll be fine. And I said, well, I'd like to, but I'm supposed to be here with you. And you know, this is the place I am most needed now. This is the place I need to be. And oftentimes a guy found that hard to accept, that sort of care. You know, I don't want to put you out. I'm not that important right now. Go home. And what I reflected on was, it's that need or that ability for human beings, and I'll speak for myself, I'm okay, I don't need that. And I think that's what was going on in the gospel. I'm fine without that. I'm fine without all this lavishness. Fine without all this words from God, I can sustain myself. It's hard to accept a gift. Oh, I find that hard. Okay, I'll speak for myself. But maybe you would say, oh, I understand that. I feel the same way. It's hard to accept help from other people. But in the gospel, we're invited to accept the love of God. And oddly enough, and I think this is the point of the gospel, which leaves me thinking what's going through people's minds, is people refuse the love of God. That's what Jesus sets up in that gospel story. People refuse the love of God. Something else more important is on their mind. And they refuse it so much that they actually are moved to almost murderous results. Very odd. I think the question before you and me on this weekend is, can we accept the unconditional love of God? We might think, what's in it for me? Or what's the requirement now to get this love? Nothing. Nothing you have to do. Nothing you have to believe. Nothing you have to say. The love of God is for you and me constant. It's always there. And when we talk about unconditional love, that means there's no condition. God doesn't say, I love you if this. I love you if you do that. I love you if you think this way. God doesn't say that. An unconditional love is, I love you. There's no response necessary. Maybe there's a desire for a response, but none is necessary. We don't have to return the love. That's a little hard for me to get my head around, but that's the truth about God. We talk about abundant mercy, forgiveness, salvation, redemption. All these things we desire tremendously, and they're ours. And God doesn't say, only if you do this or you do that, but accept it. And when you accept it, it changes you. Now, Father Steve mentioned in the opening prayer the ability then, when we accept the love of God, then to be moved to do good things. It's not a condition, it's a response from us. I've experienced so much the love of God, I am led to do good things. I want to share that love with other people. That's a response, but not a condition. And we're invited to have a response. The abundance of God, that wonderful image of food, I like that very much. I was thinking, last weekend, prior to the ordination, we celebrated with Father Steve's family, friends who came from Texas and from all over, from Chicago. We had dinner with them, and the Vietnamese community made food. You can imagine, like 16-foot tables filled with food, and it was. More dishes than you can imagine. You had to go back 5 times to taste everything. And the food was just heaped on top of plates and platters. I asked him, I said, where's this all going to go? He said, don't worry, it'll go. So all the food they sent over to the rectory, I said, this isn't going to go. Sunday afternoon, it's all gone. But the image of abundance is what stuck with me. Can we accept the abundant love of God? Can we accept it? We are celebrating the Eucharist today, as we do every Sunday. That's a very tangible reminder. It's a presence of Christ that is abundant. It's for all of us. And he invites us to this table to be fed with the good things that Isaiah talked about. Juicy foods, rich wines, things that will nourish us. The difference here is this nourishment takes us toward eternal life. This nourishment does not leave us, but this nourishment transforms us. It transforms us. We don't transform it into our body. This nourishment transforms us into the body of Christ, and into his life, and into his love, which lasts forever. So when we come up for communion, There's a very important exchange between the minister and those receiving communion. It's a very simple word of the body of Christ. And we know our response. So the body of Christ means, what's the response to that? Amen. What does amen mean? Amen, yes. So be it. I want it so. May it be this way forever. The body of Christ elicits from us an amen, which is our consent of faith that Christ is present. Our consent that we are the body of Christ, that we are nourished by his love, and therefore become then the body of Christ for the rest of the world, as we go out and we live what we say we believe and what we are beginning to become. As I said, it changes us, not into just this individual, that individual, Father John as an individual, Father Steve as an individual, but as the body of Christ, with care for one another, with love that is unconditional. Why would we want that? Because that's Christ. And his call is to be formed in his image, not in mine, but in Christ's image. That could only happen at this table, together as a community, when we share the body of Christ. So I invite you, when you say your amen today, is to do so with strong faith and firm conviction, with a loud voice of yes, I believe, yes, make it so, yes, this is the life I say yes to become more like Christ. And so our response then is very, very different than what was in the gospel story. We don't go back to our business. We don't go back to our family. We don't go back to other occupations and say, here's all I need. We go out as disciples of Christ, following his life and his love, the body of Christ.